You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
You know, when we bought our house, we discovered that it had a decent-sized veggie patch. And obviously, just through the fact that the people were selling, it hadn't really seen much love and attention. So when we moved in, it was quite overgrown. So I know that we needed a bit of TLC and a lot of hard work to start seeing it become what it's slowly becoming. So I don't know if you can, yeah, so it's a decent-sized patch of land. And it was one of those things that the longer we left it, the more overgrown it would become. So I knew, in my wisdom, I knew that something needed to be done about it. And Murray and Luke have been busy out there weeding and getting rid of the debris and making space, and they've now planted some vegetables, and hopefully they've already started to grow. But in that, you know, Murray being who he is and the fact that he's got a farming background and he is a farmer, he knew that just planting the seeds wasn't enough. He knew that it needed to be watered, and he knew that it needed to be looked after. And he couldn't just hope that it would all work out. And he couldn't hope that I would get out there and do something about it. You know, even in the mornings, he will go out there, because I'm on holidays at the moment, I've seen him. He goes out there before work and he begins to water the gardens. And I just admire his handiwork while drinking a coffee and think, well done, Murray. Now, me, not so much with this whole veggie patch thing. So the thing is, if anyone knows me, they know that I'm not really much of a gardener. I would love to say that I love gardening, but I haven't really experienced that whole thing that some people do, you know, feeling relaxed and enjoying the experience of gardening. That's not me. And a couple of months ago, I went and bought some gardening gloves with the hope and expectation that maybe I might use them. But I am here to confess to you today that they still are in their package, which Murray reminds me of. So, that's my husband, by the way. So, the thing is, now that I'm on holidays, my plan, so in 2 weeks' time you can ask me how I'm going, is to take the gloves out of the package. Because you know what? There are no use in the package. I actually need to get them out to use them. And the thing is, I am planning to do that as long as there are no snakes in our veggie patch. Well, at the start of this new year, 2025, I know it's early days, but have you started thinking about this year? Have you asked yourself the question, maybe what does this year hold for you? For some, you may already have plans in place. You may have holidays prepared, you may be moving, you may be going into a new job. There may be things that you have already thought that you'd like to see and expectations that you'd like to see come through for you and things you'd like to achieve. But together, are there things that we want to grow and expand in? Are there areas that we need to potentially fix or work on? And I would love to tell you that they will fix themselves. But the truth is, most of the time, we need to do something about it. Is there something we know God is speaking to us about? An area He wants to bring growth and expansion. It could be speaking to people after church on a Sunday that maybe you don't know. It could be praying for people during the week, or it could be catching up with someone for coffee. But with this in mind, expansion and growth in 2025. What was Pastor Lee's encouragement from last week? Let's not just wait to the end of the year and hope that it all comes together. When we can do things today, let's not just hope things will move, expand and change, but what can we do now? Like our veggie patch, start with just a small area and see increments of change and growth. And don't leave the gardening gloves in the packet like me when you have the opportunity to work, grow and expand today. If you're unsure of what to do, especially if you are going somewhere you haven't been before, then there are people here that we can talk to, people who will encourage you as you navigate the next steps of your journey. And if nothing has come to mind yet of what you'd like to see this year, you know what? That is okay. But just know this morning that God wants to see us grow and expand. That's His heart for us. because he is forever moving, he is ever growing, and he wants to see that in our hearts and lives. So with that in mind today, I would like to talk on wisdom and growing in godly wisdom, which I know will help, guide, and inform each one of us as we navigate what this year holds. We may have different thoughts on what wisdom is and how it can outwork in our lives. We may know of people who we think are wise. We may have questions like, is wisdom only for the people that are old? And some people can be wise in one area, but not in other areas. Or we may just not know much about wisdom. So why wisdom? Let's look at a parable that Jesus talks about in Matthew 7, 24 to 27. And it's a parable about two builders, and Jesus describes them each, one being wise and one being foolish. And the wise man built his house on a rock, and the foolish man built his house on the sand. And when the winds came, the man whose house was on the sand crumbled. So building on the right foundation matters. Let's look at this parable from the kids' perspective.
Jesus went up to the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. He asked them, "Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise."
Hey, I'm going to build here.
I'm going to build out there.
All right, suit yourself.
Like a person who builds a house on solid rock.
Oh, yeah.
When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it was well built.
I'll get it here.
But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish.
All right, hey, it's nice.
Like a person who builds a house on sand.
Uh-oh.
When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching.
So why wisdom? Because Jesus explains that if you follow his words, then you are like a wise person who builds your house upon a rock, which enables us to stand through life's ups and downs. And I know that if challenges come my way, then I need to know that my life is built on the foundation of God's truth, and that he loves me and that he is for me, and that when things happen and when storms come, that I will not be moved because of God's truth in my life and the fact that I am standing on what he has said to me. And I know that's what you want for your lives as well. When those things happen, when the winds come, when the waves crash, that you are standing strong on the truth of God's word as we not only hear, but we do what he has called us to do. I need God's word so that I can be strong and have a strong foundation, because I need God's perspective and truth. Do you need God's perspective and truth? But I also know I need his wisdom to know how to apply and activate his understanding and his truth in my day. I can have knowledge about something, but I need wisdom to outwork that knowledge and make good, godly decisions. So what does wisdom mean? The dictionary defines wisdom as the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. But we may ask ourselves, well, then how do we measure that experience, knowledge, and good judgment? Do we use our own experiences or the experience of those older than us? How about what Google says or the experts on TikTok? Is it looking at religious leaders, past and present? In some ways, we are spoilt for choice. But what does the Bible say about wisdom? First and foremost, the Bible defines wisdom as deriving from a relationship with God himself. We know God is wise, so spending time with him and his word is beneficial. but even more so is applying the truth of His word to the situations that we go through. His word in our lives, this will help us grow in outworking His wisdom in our lives. Psalm 111 verse 10 says this, "How can men be wise? The only way to begin is by reverence for God. For growth in wisdom comes from obeying His laws. Praise His name forever." The Bible defines wisdom as the ability to see the things as God does through the lens of His word, and then applying this truth. God's wisdom is relevant and practical. It is not out of reach for us. And His word will provide guidance when we're facing different situations and challenges. All of Proverbs chapter 2 speaks about this, and here is a portion of it. In Proverbs 2 verse 6, it says this, "For the Lord grants wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding." And verse 9 and 11 says this, "Then you will understand what is right, just and fair, and you will find the right way to go. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise choices will watch over you, understanding will keep you safe." The book of Proverbs defines wisdom as the ability to judge correctly and apply the best course of action based on knowledge and understanding. And that's what I want to continue to activate in our lives in 2025. Expansion and growing in godly wisdom by applying His truth, looking at the course of action based on His truth and applying it. So what are some areas we can apply godly wisdom to? Being wise with our time. Finding a balance between work and our families and rest. Being wise with our finances. The balance between saving, spending and giving. And like Pastor Renew said, do I really need those pair of shoes? Being wise in relationships. For example, understanding and applying safe boundaries. Being wise in handling confrontations, not running, but choosing to be calm and truthful and aiming for a positive outcome. Being wise in conversations. If someone, for example, comes and shares something with you, saying, "Holy Spirit, what do I say to this person right now?" Being wise in bringing up children. For example, learning to understand when to press an issue and when to let go. As the saying goes, pick your battles. Displaying wisdom under pressure and being wise in the goals you want to achieve this year. In all those areas, our encouragement today is to bring God into the conversation. Show me, Lord, how to bring up my children. Show me safe boundaries, Show me, Lord, the ways that you want me to outwork this particular thing that I'm experiencing so that it does have an outcome that is a win-win for everyone. I know we may not be able to always say how the outcome will work out, but we can be guided by God's truth, applying His word, seeing it through His lens, His perspective, and then saying, "God, how do I use your wisdom to outwork this?" Is there an area that speaks to you? Is there an area that you're saying, "God, help me to expand and grow in so that I can handle this area with wisdom, perspective and understanding?" Because so much knowledge and information is available to us, how do we differentiate between godly wisdom and what the world offers? How do we sift through the noise to hear God's voice and perspective on what we should do? I'm not saying it's all wrong, but what is our measuring stick? We always, always need to come back to the Word of God. James 3:7 says this, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere." Look at those attributes of godly wisdom. We may look at some of them and go, "Oh, gee, I'm really not good at outworking those in my life." I know I can say that for sure. But that's okay, because you're not alone. We're all on this journey of faith together. If you know that you struggle in any of these attributes, we know that God isn't going to just say, oh, well, you know, they're unattainable. Just leave it at that. Because we know that's not who God is. But he does need us to do something. And the following scripture answers this. In James 1:5, it says this: if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. So if you need wisdom and help with being peace-loving, considerate, sincere and open to reason, we can ask God to give us wisdom and be confident that he will, and declare expansion over our lives in those areas that we need. You know, there were wise men and women in the Bible who walked in godly wisdom. You may have some on your mind already. People like David, Joshua, Joseph, and Abraham. It can be hard to narrow it down. But today, one person I'll look at is Solomon. We often know a lot of information about David, but not necessarily a lot about Solomon, his son. And David's son Solomon, when he became king, God asked him, "What do you want me to give you?" Solomon asked for wisdom, a discerning heart to govern his God's people and to know right from wrong. God was pleased with what Solomon asked and gave him wisdom in abundance. Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Songs, and was considered one of the wisest people in the Bible. Here is what one thing Solomon said in Proverbs 4:7. Getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do, and with your wisdom, develop common sense and good judgment. Looking at Solomon's life, a key we can take is that making good decisions comes from godly wisdom and God's truth. This year, making decisions, even life-giving decisions, I know I need God's wisdom and truth. I can be smart and have lots of knowledge and still make poor decisions. That's why I need godly wisdom in my life. You know, there are times where we might be faced with situations and it's easy to turn to family and friends. And I'm not negating that by any stretch of the imagination. But sometimes we need to just go, God, what does your word say? And right now, if I'm facing this way, I want to pivot to your truth, pivot to your perspective, pivot to your understanding, and then outwork that in my life so that I can see this situation hopefully come to a good conclusion. But even if it doesn't, I'm still going to strive for your wisdom in this situation. I can't control the outcome, but I can control what I do and outworking it through your wisdom, your perspective, and your truth in my life. Amen. Amen. And I just sensing the Holy Spirit just saying right now, even for some of us, there is this, even now I can just feel like God is just coming and pivoting people right now. You may not understand it, but you may be sensing something of the Holy Spirit in your heart right now. And he is saying right now, I am pivoting you to my perspective, my truth, my understanding at the start of 2025, because I want to develop in you godly outworking and wise decision making in your marriages, in your relationships, in your workplaces, in your personal life and the life of this church. And I just encourage you, be open to his pivoting, the pivoting of the Holy Spirit today as he works on you and enables you to see things from his perspective, in the name of Jesus. Knowledge involves information and intellect. Wisdom enables us to use that knowledge to make proper judgments and decisions. And amen for that. Like Solomon, you and I can outwork godly wisdom in our decision making as we ask God to reveal his truth, to know how to respond in situations with our marriages, relationships with friends and partners, and workplaces and schools. The second person I want to look at this morning is Abigail. Has anyone heard of Abigail in the Bible? No? Some yeses, some noes. We find her story in 1 Samuel 25. and what she did to resolve a situation that could have ended badly by her using wisdom and action. Abigail was married to a guy called Nabal, and the Bible describes her as being intelligent and beautiful. Nabal, however, even though he was wealthy, was described as surly and mean in his dealings. He certainly lacked judgment. God's word tells us in chapter 5 of 1 Samuel that David and his 600 men had shown great kindness to Nabal and his workers. They had protected them when the servants had cared for their sheep out in the desert, and they were faithful to never take anything from them. At a time when dangers in the desert lurked all around, this was a huge blessing from David to Nabal and his family. So when David sent a word of kindness to Nabal, asking for just a simple act of hospitality for his men, which was common in that culture and time, imagine his anger when this hard-hearted man responded with such rudeness and contempt. And this was Nabal's response to David's servants in 1 Samuel 25, verse 10. "Who is this fellow David?" Nabal sneered to the young men. "Who does this son of Jesse think he is? There are lots of servants these days who run away from their masters." Nabal refused to send food and water. David responded to this to his men by saying, "Get your swords." And he and 400 men took off after Nabal and his household. You know, Abigail was told of this situation and her husband's rudeness to David. In the face of this conflict, she acted quickly and wisely. She knew David wouldn't just sit back and take Nabal's rudeness lightly. She made a good decision. She went and took food and water out to David. She spoke wisely to David, and by doing this, she brought this conflict to a peaceable end. You know, this was a very courageous thing to do because she didn't know how David would respond to her. He had a sword, but she had the truth of God's word. And that enabled her to have the faith to believe and act and be courageous in that situation, I believe. It had been a bad situation, but because of Abigail's decision, and wise actions, the conflict didn't escalate and instead ended well. She had knowledge of the situation and acted wisely in addressing the situation. Wisdom enables us to use knowledge to make proper judgments and decisions. By using God's wisdom, we can change the outcome of a situation. We may not know how to respond, but we can turn to God and ask for His wisdom and His truth and allow the Spirit of God to lead us to show us the right decision to make. God, lead us in godly wisdom. So today, what is Jesus encouraging us to do? To not only be hearers of what He says, but to do. This means applying, changing, activating, and acting on His truth in our lives so that we can grow, expand, and change. To be like Abigail, when presented with information about a situation, to act wisely. To be like Solomon, to see the importance of wisdom and growing in wisdom. Godly wisdom is more than just knowledge and making good decisions. It's when you and I allow God's perspective to shift the way we see and respond in the situations we go through. And today I want to declare to you to expect a change. At the start of 2025, it is my desire, and I know it's yours desire, to apply God's wisdom in the situations I go through. I don't want to just make good and rational decisions. I want to make Spirit-led decisions directed by God and His wisdom. In my marriage, I don't always get it right. I wish I did, but I don't, because we are human. But God, help me to make Spirit-led decisions and outwork Your wisdom in my life and the things that I go through. And I know that that is Your heart as well. And if I can just get everyone to stand this morning. Believe it or not, I actually made strawberry jam this week because we've got an abundance of strawberries at home. But before I could make the strawberry jam, I needed jars in which to be able to put the jam into. So I went to the shop and bought some. And then once I'd made the jam, I was able to pour the jam into the jars. And last night, I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me and say that some of you today may feel like, you know what, I actually don't have much wisdom. I don't even really understand it, or I may only have a little bit, or I'm definitely wanting more wisdom. And you might say, you know what, my jar only feels half empty, or only has a little bit in the bottom. And I just felt the Holy Spirit wants to encourage you today that if you need wisdom, then I just would love for you to put up your hands, because I just want to pray for you. And I know that He is going to pour out wisdom into your life. And I declare overflow and expansion of wisdom in your lives today. Even if at the start of the year you might say, you know, I just need wisdom for my relationship. I need wisdom in my marriage. I need wisdom in my workplace. I need wisdom to know how to speak to people that, God, you've brought across my path. I don't always know what to do. I don't feel like my jar of wisdom is very full, but right now I know Holy Spirit is going to pour wisdom into your life, into your jar, so to speak, and there is going to be overflow. So, Lord God, we just pray as our hands are raised. Lord God, at the start of 2025, I just declare your godly wisdom. Let there be an increase into our hearts and our lives. Lord God, but not only an increase, I just declare direction, understanding and knowledge to outwork that wisdom in our everyday life, in our relationships, in our marriages, with our children, with our time, with our finances. Whatever it is that we are needing more of you right now, I just declare an abundance. I declare an overflow, because it's who you are. Lord God, let us pivot towards your truth this morning. Lord God, let us pivot to your perspective in our outworking of the things you've placed on our heart and our life. Because Lord God, you want us to have good marriages this morning. You want us to have good relationships this morning. You want us to have abundance in giving, abundance in finances, abundance in time to spend with you. And Lord God, we just look to you, the author and the perfecter of our faith today. And I declare an overflow. I declare a pivoting of your understanding and your wisdom in our hearts and our lives. We are a church that is led, Spirit-led. This morning, we are a church that is defined by the fact that we have a good God who is merciful and gracious. And right now, in your presence, there is now overflow. There is now expansion as God fills us with His godly wisdom. In the name of Jesus. And just while you're standing, if you don't know Jesus today, I want to encourage you that a good decision is to ask Him into your life. Start with the best foundation at the start of 2025, which is knowing Jesus. And in Romans 10 verse 9, it says this: if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So this morning, I just want to pray this prayer. And if you want to join in with me, if you're happy to close your eyes, and maybe this will be the first time you've prayed this prayer or you haven't prayed in a long time, I just invite you and encourage you to pray along with us. Dear Jesus, please come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. I declare that you are Lord and believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead, and I choose to follow you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.